Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Warning, we at the Premier Non-League Podcast have missed you this summer, so we've talked a little bit longer than usual on this episode. So just beware, this is an extra long start to the season.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
Well, well, well. We haven't got a full house for episode 49 of the first one of the 23-24 season. Welcome back to the Premier Non-League Podcast. I think it's time for us all to introduce ourselves again, because I think the listeners have forgotten who we are, don't we, Trev?
I've forgotten who I am.
Who am I? Yeah. What's your name? And where do you come from, Cilla Black? What's your name? Where'd you come from? Trev's here. Gaz is here. Hello. Sitting in a car away from a kids' party / barbecue that you're just trying to get some respite. But I think, firstly, we've said it on Twitter, we can say it on live. Congratulations to you and Chelsea for the birth of your child. So congratulations, round of applause and everything from the love of the PNLP family and the listeners. Got a bit of love of that on the socials, mate. How's it being a father so far? Like, I know you've obviously got a stepson, but you know, for a newborn, what's it like?
Well, I've established that between the hours of 11 PM and 5 AM, I'm as useless as useful as a chocolate teapot. Like, it's so much so that after my wife had been home, two nights, I got up to do a night feed with her, and she was like, "Go back to bed. You're annoying me." That's not what she said, but I'm trying not to swear.
Yeah, we don't want any libel cases here, no.
No, it was a Foxtrot Oscar, back to bed. You're making no sense. That's got me out of the night feeds from day one. So
I should say, Gareth, was that a ploy to get out of the night time?
No, genuinely. I can wake up at 5 AM and be absolutely normal, and I can go to 11 PM. But between those 6 hours are exclusively reserved for sleep, and I make zero sense. So it was great. I mean, I've done a couple of sort of 4 AMs. That's all right, just about. But no, she's great, it's nice.
So now you know how my wife sounds when I don't even have children. I'm like 24 hours of the day. Yeah. Yeah. Makes no sense, and it's like F off. Anyway,
I think everyone that listens to this podcast knows sense you make.
Yeah, we got that. Shut up, Brummy, and those dulcet Brummy tones. I haven't heard from a few months, because for the first time in a few months, I'm doing a podcast with Pete. Peter.
Hello, mate.
What's been going on? Where have you been hiding? I can't even get you on the Rebel Yell podcast, your own home podcast, but we get you on the Premier Non-League podcast. Are you trying to show your loyalties to something else? Has Gaz and Trev been slipping you some notes under the radar?
Well, if you haven't got a message yet, James, then I give up.
Well.
James out.
Yeah, whatever. That's so nice. Not a nice welcome. But Chris doesn't want me out, because we did that amazing summer special, didn't we, Chris? It was a good laugh, that.
That was good. It was good, Craig. Yeah.
And actually, it must have been good, because Trev actually said he really enjoyed it. So, you know, it must have been all right then, mustn't it?
I did. It was a good listen, chaps, actually, while I was on the sunbeds in Portugal.
It was good. I mean, that book is fantastic. I'm not even going to tell you what it is, because you should go back in the listening history and you can listen through it yourself. But fantastic book. Buy it. It's out. I think it's out now, isn't it, Chris? Or is it out? No, it's out on the 10th, wasn't it? I think 10th of August. So when this podcast actually comes out, it will be out and available in Waterstones. And I do have to say, please buy it, because as we said on that, we said plenty of times, and we said it in a group, if you read it, you can relate to it. It doesn't matter what club you're supporting, but us all loving non-league, we know, and we've been involved at non-league on all different levels, and we know that most of those stories we can relate to, can't we, chaps?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so fantastic. Anyway, how's the summer been, guys? How's it been? Have we been missing the football? Because, Trev, you've been sunning yourself in Portugal, haven't you, where I'm currently located recording this podcast, but I haven't got my moves out for the lovely Portuguese listeners right now. But how was your holiday? Was it all come back nice and R&R? You got a bit of a colour to you there, mate, I see.
I thought you'd been pasty.
Cheers, guys.
That's summer in England. That would be pasty. I mean, what the hell? We haven't even had a bloody summer. Trevor has to even go away, and that's saying something, isn't it?
Really nice. Lots of podcasts, lots of blogs, a bit of sunshine.
Did you, being the guy that loves football and especially at a lower level, did you happen to have a sneaky check to see if there's any fixtures on around your hotel, or were you completely tuned out from going and watching football? Were you told by the missus? No,
I think his missus would have killed him if he had.
Because I was expecting to see Trevor saying checked in at some random like Pride de Luge FC or something like that, and like, you know, some like
she went shopping with the girl. So if I wanted to, I probably would have got away with it. But to be honest, there's enough football coming up. That was just all about having a good break and some sunshine before starting the new job.
It's a lovely country that is Portugal, and you know, Mediterranean, great little location. But we're not talking about those sunny climes because it's the Atlantic, James,
not the Med.
Oh, Atlantic coast, yeah. Sorry, well, Spanish. I meant, I love Spain. Right. You know, I love Spain.
It's Portugal, though. James, what do you do for a living?
Mate, sorry, seriously, if I've been on six pre 4 a.m. wake ups. To be honest, I'm really surprised I even know I'm in Portugal right now, let alone anywhere else in the world. I've been all over the bloody continent. But anyway, we're back to England, we're back to the football, and we're back to the season. And Chris, you've had your first taste of step two football with a bit of success, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. There was a bit of skepticism after pre-season, a mixed pre-season to say the least, and we faced Alfreton Town on Saturday, playoff side. They reached the playoffs last season. And yes, they were missing two or three players, but we were excellent and a real breath of fresh air. It was a super little introduction to National League football. What a fantastic day all around, a real breath of fresh air. Hughie Walker's first competitive game. And we didn't fluff our lines. We were excellent.
And obviously, we talked about Julio Arca, you know, coming into South Shields at the end of our season, because as listeners will realise that we sort of celebrated you getting promoted with Phillips, and then obviously we're playing a week. And on that podcast, I remember you saying, I wouldn't be surprised if he'd gone. I almost don't even think the podcast had come out when it actually said, actually, he has gone. So, and he still hasn't got a club yet, has he, as far as I
know?
No, you were thinking he was going to a couple of places, didn't you?
Yeah, there was talk of him going to Walsall, and we felt it was a done deal. But in his absence, whilst on holiday, I think the chairman found someone else. Then there was talk of Solihull. I've been told that the chairman at Solihull was looking to cut the budget somewhat, so he wasn't interested in that. So as it stands at the moment, he hasn't got a club. But that's the way it is. I don't think he's in any hurry.
No, but more for him for not experiencing a bit of National League North football before he sort of, it would have been nice to add to his CV. But what are your thoughts so far on Julio Arca? Like, I mean, one game in, you said a mixed pre-season, but pre-season's pre-season, as we all know. What are the thoughts so far? I mean, obviously, how was that day for you on Saturday? You know, did you feel any different from a normal match day you've experienced in the past years? A bit more excitement or anything in sort of around the ground, the buzz?
Did you think there'd be less pressure? I think last season in particular, there was a case of South Shields just having to be promoted after what had happened in the previous 3 years with the budget, with the fact that it's a full-time team, and there was a lot of pressure on. Saturday just felt as though there was none of that, and it was almost like an opportunity for the team to just have a free hit almost. The players played without fear. There was a real front foot feel to it. Mm-hmm. And Julio appears to want to play on the front foot with intensity. The biggest thing for us is the fact that he appointed Tommy Miller as his assistant. And Tommy spent years in National League North with Spenny Moore, tying with Halifax as well. So his knowledge of the level can't be overestimated. So, no, it was a great day. Shields played really, really well, without fear. So it was a smashing afternoon, smashing.
And how have you been over summer, signings wise? Signed well, impressed players, lost players that you expected to stay. How's it been for Shields?
Well, they hadn't done too much in the transfer market until last Wednesday when three players were signed. So all in all, brought six in. But three of those came in on Wednesday, and all three started. In fact, all six started on Saturday. And you could see the levels they are. They're a higher level of player than what we had last season. We signed Paul Blackett and John Lufudu from Spennymoor. Ronnie and I on the Mariners podcast interviewed Tommy Miller last week, and Tommy was absolutely certain that, you know, Lufudu and Blackett in particular, they had to be brought in. They were players he really wanted. And we've signed two from Gateshead, one a kid from Alf Church called Jed Abbey, who
Pete's second club.
Yeah, he's huge. He's a huge guy, 21 years old, massive unit, and he didn't fluff his lines on Saturday. Two goals and an assist. So the signings have been excellent. There's going to be one or two more. There's going to be a few going out, I think. I can see one or two of the lads who were out on loan last year will go out on loan again. Mm-hmm. And we've already got one's already just left last week. So, but all in all, good business.
Yeah, and then you're happy with that. And do you have any early season thoughts? I mean, I know you probably say just to stay up would be one thing, but is there any, because you can always dream and there's sensible dreams. So I can refer to this on the last episode of the season in a 9 months time from now.
Well, I made a prediction that we would finish round about eighth. Okay.
Just outside the playoffs.
Just outside the playoffs, but hey, you know, nothing stopping Shields having a go at the playoffs.
You can see it from Worthing last year. We would have been happy. Yeah, absolutely. We're expecting mid-table and we hit fourth.
Yeah, I said just before we came on air to one or two of the lads that there's nothing stopping us from doing a Worthing because, yeah, we're not the biggest spenders anymore like we have been for the last 7 years, but the budget's still healthy. We're still a full-time team. Nothing stopping Shields from having a right good goal.
Yeah, no. Well, we look forward to seeing the season. We're going to have to think of a new question, chaps, because there was one question last year. Will Shell Shields be promoted? I think it was a bi-weekly regular thing. So what could it be this year? I don't know.
Will
South Shields make a play? Echo in the room. There we go. No, we like it. Yeah, we'll do that. Well done, Chris, and we look forward to seeing the rest of the season for you and the Shields, guys. Talk about step two. Pete, we scored a worldie. It's been a topic of conversation in our chat.
It was a bog standard
by Nicky Wheeler. Do we now? Trev's now loading up the screenshots of the like messages from the group, and he's about to upload them on the PNLP's Twitter right now to prove otherwise. For the first time on our opening day in step two, we won because last year we drew 1-1 on a scrappy game against Sober. It was marred by bad behaviour. But Tunbridge Angels came to town this week. Pete, I wasn't there. As you know, I was being trounced all over Europe. In all honesty, how did we play? Because I've heard like mixed reviews, mixed stories. Yeah, it was a Gaz, how would you explain the goal from Nicky Wheeler?
I'd say it was a good hit and poor goalkeeping.
Yeah. Pete, how would you explain... Nicky Wheeler's goal. Honestly,
he hit it like a rocket, and it moved a bit. The goalkeeper had bodies in front of him, which didn't help him. But he's hit it like an absolute rocket, as far as I'm concerned.
Worthing FC on Twitter on YouTube, guys. If you want to see it for yourself, have a look and let us know in the comments how you what you actually feel at the PNLP, and see if Pete's talking sense or not. But how was the game though? Like, obviously,
I'm put it out on Twitter as a little poll. Okay. Worldie or goalkeeper error?
Did I call it a worldie?
Yeah, you did.
You know what?
I'll go on there right now, and I think Gareth, you could put a picture of Pete actually saying it. Where is it? When was it? Keep talking, Pete. When I'm looking,
yeah. But anyway,
use the word worldie.
Going back to the main thing, and winning any game in the 95th minute is excellent. I thought we thoroughly deserved it. I think the new signings played really well. I like Joe Felix, who we got from Dulwich.
Yeah, he sounds like he's a bit of a mustard. That guy.
Yeah, he was just busy, just a live wire. Wheeler, obviously very good. Classy midfielder's good. I think we controlled the game, to be honest. They had a couple of chances, but they didn't get that much. And I think somebody was saying, oh, it would have been fair if it was a draw. But when you look at the stats, we had 12 corners to compare to one for them. So I think that sort of shows the dominance of the game that we got
tagged in from a Tunbridge listener, which thank you for listening and supporting the podcast, that he feels that every time Tunbridge play Worthing, the ref's on our side, which I don't know. Is that just, this is just a bait. This isn't slagging you off or anything, mate, who's tweeted us in. But is that just bitter? Like, because I don't ever think, that
I think
the ref's on side.
No, to be honest, the referee on Saturday, I thought, I try not to criticise refs because it's a hard job, and not one that many people have got balls to actually do. But I think he made errors for both teams. There was no favouritism or anything. I think he was just consistently bad throughout the game. To be honest, there's some strange decisions, and you're like, what's going on here? Like 1 minute he doesn't want to card somebody, and the next minute he's carding someone for exactly the same thing, and you're like, hold on a minute, he's just done exactly the same. Spoke to him, and then the opposition player does it, and you booked him. Michael Klass got booked. I think that was for a bit of dissent, but I think just reading about the new rule changes, and I think if you say anything to the ref now, you're going to go into the book. I think that's.
And that could be a sort of topic for later on in the pod or some other time, but I kind of think that's about bloody time, because we can't compare football to rugby. You're always going to have sides of each side, but whoever goes through the captain at rugby, and they just leave it and it's on, but it's getting worse and worse. And they've got to do something. We've said it on this podcast plenty of times over the past few seasons, haven't we, guys, about the dissent and sort of respect towards referees. And maybe it is about time, and maybe this will stop, because they might stop and think, actually, hang on a second, you might not agree with something, but if you were in the workplace and your boss tells you something you don't agree with, you ain't going to start gobbing off at them, are you? Because you're going to end up getting sacked. You're your own boss, aren't you, Pete? Pete talking to himself in the mirror.
Yeah, I do. Great. That's what I do for a living.
Do we think it's about time?
I think they brought the sin bin thing in a few years ago, didn't they? And I don't think it's been used.
Was that county league level, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah.
But I think that was done as sort of a trial to see how it works. But I don't think it's been done consistently enough and well enough. So if the yellow cards are going to be consistent and used, and it's going to and people are going to learn from it, then yes, yeah, great idea. But I just see it's going to end up like the sin bins again, and I reckon by Christmas it'll probably have petered out a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's gone a bit weak. Trev, you were sort of like agreeing, kind of shaking your head there, and what do you think about it?
Yeah, I agree with Gaz with the sin bins. I mean, games we've been to at step 5 and 6 as well, and you're asking the referee to then concentrate on someone who's off the pitch for 10 minutes as well. He's soon going to have more watches up his sleeve, I think, than a thief in Soho, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, why not trial it at maybe a level at step 3 or 4 and actually put a row of fourth officials in just for 1 year, let them control it, and then you get the desired result at the end of it. I mean, it all becomes a fad as well, where they look really sharp on it for about 3 months, and then by the time you get to month 6, you're like, why has he not had a card for that?
And it's sitting in
the bin for 10 minutes. There's no consistency with it.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how that follows on this season. And, I hope we do have a season where we're not getting as much abuse towards the referee. And we've all been guilty of it, I'm sure, of some critical comments towards the referee over our footballing supporting lives. But, about time something has changed, because, we've got to look out for the future of the game here. And if people that are young, I was listening to Peter Crouch's podcast. He kind of was joking, saying whoever wants to become a referee, it's like whoever wants to become a parking warden and stuff like that. You don't go to careers officer at school and go, I want to be a referee, or I want to be a parking warden, do you? It's kind of like one of those jobs, but we have to have them.
I think we just need to ask for consistency, don't we? It's all well and good saying, we're going to give more yellow cards out.
Yep.
But we'll go to games and there'll be a horrendous tackle, and they'll get away with it, and there'll be a little shoulder to shoulder that end up with the yellow card being brandished.
Yep.
So I think 100%. If they're consistent I think people will tolerate it if they're consistent. If they're not consistent, that's when the trouble starts in the crowds and that sort of thing. Yeah. And fans, that Tunbridge guy probably had a very valid point. In his eyes, he's not seeing consistency. And we all know that consistency is what riles people up.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Before we move on from Worthy, I think we've just got to say I found a quote. Pete, what a winner from Wheeler. And don't you just love a 95-minute goal? Obviously, I wasn't there. So I went, good goal, ? Screamer. Black and white, black and white.
I didn't I didn't say worldie.
You said a screamer, worldie, same shit, different.
Was a screamer, day,
mate. Before we move on, Pete, signings. We've had a bit of an overhaul in the squad this summer for the first time in probably a few years, where we've lost players, and you know, it feels like there's a real sort of change at the club, doesn't it? And they're going to have to. Maybe that's why the preseason wasn't as consistent. We didn't have as many good victories as you expect. I know it's just preseason, but we've signed quite a few players this year, and ones that are bloody brilliant, I have to say.
Yeah, I'm well impressed with the signings, to be honest. Pre-season was iffy, but they're getting used to the tactics, to the way we play, the keeping the possession. And as we know, there's not that many clubs at this level who keep possession of the ball like Worthing do. So they've had to probably get used to that. So it's all a learning curve. So, yeah, I was really, really pleased, really happy with the signings. And I think, teams are going to have to watch out for us, because going forward, I think we're going to be really dangerous this season.
Yeah. Well, Juan Luque, who we interviewed on our podcast, he seems to be a real miss from Maidstone. Maidstone were gutted when he didn't sign with them. But as he said to us, he said that Worthing were the only club that approached him that didn't say, hey, you need to prove your fitness to us. They said, we want to work with you to get you back to fitness. I think that's got something to say, whereas Hinch was saying as well, he doesn't have to sell the club to people anymore. People want to come to us. So, you know, it's amazing how over the course of 3-4 years that he's not having to show videos and sell. They know they want to come to Worthing. The fact that him and Nathan are like sorting a plan out player of the season, I think, in the National South, 3 years ago, I think it was. I think three, when Maidstone got last promoted. Trev, do you remember when that was?
Two
years ago, when you know that he was player of the season voted, and they're gutted he's gone, but he had a season out last year, and we're willing to take the risk on him. And you know, he seems, you know, from talking to him, he seems really keen and really loyal towards the club, and that's great to see, isn't it? Because you know, he said he's 31 years old. Why should I go around having to prove who I am when I've had a decent spell at this level? You know, it's fantastic to hear.
Yeah,
Pete, predictions for the season for Worthing. We've done it to Chris. What do you think?
Playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it last season?
I'm gonna go for one above, so third home play. We don't have to avoid the eliminator. I think we can avoid the eliminator. Hinch always said he wants to go one better than the season before, so that will naturally be third if we can get that eliminator. It'll be interesting to see, but once the players have gelled, we could have some great. So Torquay will be a big test for us this weekend, I think.
Yeah, I think everyone said Torquay would be a big test for Dover as well, didn't they? And Dover did quite well. I know Pete's not a massive fan of Dover, but they did well to get something out of...
To be fair, it's only because they protect themselves from listening to his BS for like 90 minutes on the terraces, do you know what I mean? Sorry, Gaz, go on.
I think for Worthing, I think you get playoffs and try and get a first FA Cup first round.
Oh, I'd love an FA Cup run, mate. Every season I've been a Worthing fan, we've always wanted a cup run. It never comes well. And, you know, the amount of money coming to the club, I mean... You know, we were talking to our chairman about, ground improvements. And one of the things is, as you know, guys, from seeing at Worthing, the St Elmo Road end, they demolished the stand to meet ground grading. Now, they're not going to be putting any terracing down there till they get promoted, because they get a grant to do it. So it's paid for. So there's no point doing it now, because they'd have to pay for it out of back pocket. And what they've said is they might look at doing is getting the roofing for it, and then they can clamp it on after, because they won't get a grant for the roofing, but they'll get a grant for the terracing. So they can maybe get the cover back up and like have it templated. But again, it's all money. And, you know, the more and more involved we get in the club, the more and more we realise that it's not just as simple as that, as getting sort of putting some money up.
FA Cup first round, South Shields versus Worthing at Woodside.
Can you imagine? It's written in the stars. We could have Tiny Temper playing for us, couldn't we? You know, it would be amazing. I mean, but we said we looked, didn't we, Chris? And I don't think... when you come down to face Bishop, I don't think we're anywhere near you that weekend, are we?
No, No.
Shame. That would have been good. That would have been good if we'd been playing someone like Braintree that weekend or something like that over that part of the world. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see where Pete will be. We'll be following through and through over the season. Trev, Barnet got the season off to a good start, didn't they, on Saturday? You pleased with the performance?
Just. Yeah, for 66 minutes.
Go on. Terry Tibbs, talk to me.
No, we played very well for 66 minutes. They had one chance after we scored our first when Laurie made a fantastic double save. And then I felt we coasted through the last remainder of the game. And we had a lovely 10 minutes of stoppage time at the end of the game for no apparent reason apart from Jerome Akimo went down for a bit of a head injury, but it certainly didn't prompt 10 minutes. And we were hanging on by the end, but Dean wasn't very happy. He did a pod come out a couple of days beforehand with B's pod and said on there, we want to concede less this year. And 66 minutes, that was looking lovely. And then by 90 plus 10 minutes, it was a little bit too close for comfort.
Yeah, no, I mean, what about Pete's friend? Is he playing much, or do you think he'll be much involved in this season? Old Marvin Armstrong. Marv, grafter. Well,
strength in depth this year, didn't even make the 16.
There you go.
Really?
But yeah, that's how strong we are this year. If everyone's fit this year, we had, there was him, Moussa Diarra, Dom Revan, and we didn't put a keeper on the bench either, but none of them made the starting 11 or the five on the bench as well. Really? It's strong when everyone's fit this year.
And how about the signings this summer, Trev? Have you made some good signings? Are you impressed, or you think you're not quite there? What do you feel?
Massive upgrades on the bit. I mean, when you look at the players we let go, only Rob Hall is at Hampton. Who else picked up a club? I think only Michael Phillips is at Hastings. Beyond that, I think the other four or five we let go still haven't found a club yet. So that shows the level of players we've let go. But if they are, I mean, the guy we brought in from Chelmsford, Adi Aluwa, got the first goal at the weekend. He's very, very, very impressive. And he's comfortably going to make the step up. We've got Finlay Potter back on loan from Sheffield United, Sam Barrett from Maidenhead, and Zach Brunt, who we got from Sheffield United. We've got a nice little link with them as well. But he's about 2 seconds thinking in front of everyone else. So I'd say we're too short of challenging for the title. Yeah. Another striker and a defensive midfielder. If we get two of those in, I'd say we're in the title race. But without them, I'd say third's the best we're hoping for.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think though? So you think you get a striker, where do you think you'll be?
Depends, because we had to take Gormo off on Saturday because he was sitting on a booking, and he did commit a couple of fouls, not bad ones or anything like that. Yeah. But the way the referee was starting to referee the game, Dean took him off to save us, ending up with 10 men.
Yeah.
So we then had to alter the team a little bit, and it didn't work. So I would say that defensive midfield is more of a priority.
Yeah.
Striker can wait until Cabanda gets injured. We've got Callum Stead as well. We can play up top. Barrett can play. We could play with two false nines if we wanted to. But again, as Dean said, I think what day was it? On the Thursday, till the EFL window closes at the end of August, everyone you try and inquire about now are all in and around the first team squad. They ain't going to play, but.
Yeah.
EFL clubs are keeping their options open for another 4 weeks. So give it time, and then there'll be a few players as well that still haven't found a club. The only problem is that they're not going to be fit.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And if you don't get those strikers, where do you think? Do you think it'll be a playoff run?
Playoff's easy. Yeah. But there's no easy games, as Oldham found out at the weekend.
Wrexham found out.
Wrexham, yeah, Notts County found out the same as well.
I'm looking forward to the next series of that, but we can't talk about Wrexham anymore. We've got to have a new hashtag United we can put the hate on this year, can't we? Pete likes them, don't you? But anyway, fair enough. Gaz, before you shoot off for your barbecue, any pre-season stuff for you? Obviously, you've been very busy. I think you've been to a couple of games at Trev, haven't you? But
I think I've actually only been to one, I think. I went to Wick against Littlehampton. Right at the start of July, I think.
No, mid-July, wasn't it? About 15th.
Nah, Molly was born on the 14th, so I definitely wouldn't have been there then.
Well, maybe it's the week before then.
Yeah. So, yeah, early sort of middle part. And then I actually took her to her first football match yesterday.
Bloody hell, starting her young, mate. Bloody hell.
Yeah. She's really long as well.
Have you got her man? Have you got her Man City shirt yet?
Oh, yeah. None of that rubbish here. Thank you very much.
Have you got a United baby grow yet or anything?
Do you know what? I've been warned that my testicles will be taken.
Yeah, but mate, you know when it's daddy
daycare.
Don't need
them anymore, though, do I?
You know, so. Yeah, exactly. You know when it's daddy daycare and all that. Like Chelsea's away. Get her in the photo. Get the photos done. That's it. You don't need any more, do you? After that, get the photos done. Hide it every time Chelsea will look all over the house for it. Hide it somewhere she doesn't know where you keep that secret porn stash. Put it in there, and then you can have it every time.
Need that my phone.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you can make it out, can't you 3D print or something like that? You know, you've got the technology now. They holograms. Yeah. So. But yeah, so are you okay? You can't sort of dispute how much it's amazing to be a dad for yourself. But are you missing any of that football yet? Are you chomping at a bit to get to anything? And will we see?
So I took her to a game yesterday. My brother does. I don't know if you've heard of it. Man versus Fat. It's like
yeah.
So he played an 11 aside for that. Played very well, might I add. And his team won 6-1, so it was decent. I took her to that, and then halfway through the second half, she got hungry, so I had to go inside and give her a bottle and feed her, do all the daft.
First world problem.
But you know what? As she gets a bit older, I'm looking forward to taking her. And there's a few, I've seen a few Twitter pages, I think, where dads taking their kids to football in carriers and buggies and prams.
Are you trying to get viral? Is that what you're trying to do?
No, not about being viral, but I just, yeah.
Well, you know what I think it is? As we know today, like we've seen after recording England women's beating Nigeria on penalties, you know, Trev, you said during the Euros, your daughters properly got, that's when they properly started getting into football. Because as I know, as long as I've known you, they weren't asked with it before, were they? And, you know, they get into that. And I've seen them at games for you all the time. So I guess that's probably, you know, to have a child born at this time of where the football, women's football's, by the time she's old enough to know what's going on, it could be huge. And it's got even bigger than it is now. Yeah. And, you know, what a way to get a child involved in football.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, my son absolutely hates football. He tells me he's a Chelsea fan, but the only reason he does that is because my wife's name is Chelsea. It's only because his mum's name's Chelsea. So, yeah, that's the only reason he does it. He wasn't saying that last year when I took him to Old Trafford to watch his first game. He was like screaming and shouting at for United to score. So, but he doesn't really enjoy the non-league side of it. I think he gets it a bit bored. He'd rather play on his Switch.
But as he gets older, he might get into it, you never know. Get him on the fosters when he's like 14 and get the Stone Island in, mate. He'll be sorted.
It'll fit him well with some of those Worthing fans, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I know. Gobshites they are.
But no, look, I'm hoping to get out to a couple of games. I'm not going to be able to take her out in the winter, but certainly over the next few weeks.
You mean you're not getting one of those dry robes and she's going to be poking her head out of that?
I'm massively underdressed when it comes to the winter. I'm normally just in a hoodie and a gilet. So there's no way that she's going to come to football with me in the winter, but certainly as when the weather gets a bit nicer as well, she'll be there.
Guys, I look forward to seeing carrier bag photos of a baby at a football game over the course of the year. But congratulations again. And, you know, we look forward to seeing, you know, hopefully you'll catch it game soon.
I'll be on for the whole of the next episode. Episode 50, I've got to be really, haven't I?
Yeah, you've got to be on for our Golden Jubilee. Golden Jubilee, is that 50, isn't it?
Yeah, Golden Jubilee.
There we go. We're nearly as good as Lizzie. anyway, after that, no, that's really not in taste, is it? After that, all our little thoughts of the season and stuff, let's hear from Ollie Bayliss, one of the key vloggers and presenters of non-league football, the go-to guy. He's always been good to us on the Premier Non-League podcast, and Trev and I sat down with him and spoke to him about his thoughts of the season.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Season.
Are you PNLP?
Ollie, it's good to have you back on the Premier Non-League podcast. Thanks for joining us. Firstly, congratulations on your BBC show being relaunched, or would you say renewed? Is that the right word?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, thank you. It's great. It's nice to sort of have only missed the closed season. Yeah, we finished at the end of last season and back up running again the start of this season. So yeah, I haven't really missed anything. Back on a Monday night, which is quite nice because it means we look back at what happened over the weekend. So yeah, thank you. I'm very happy.
No, because I years ago I worked in the radio industry, and you know, I've seen it all since, and seen people like, you know, shows cancelled, stations closed, everything like that. So it's a relief to see that probably one of the only sort of broadcasted non-league shows is still around.
Yeah, I think so. BBC Radio Northampton have just launched one. They've just started one as of this week. So it's good to see a few places that are sort of launching their own and you know, spreading the word about non-league.
Yeah, no, it is good. It is good to see. So, Ollie, so you said you didn't do the show off-season in the closed season. How have you found the pre-season? Any sort of like surprises or noteworthy stories you've been surprised at being in your non-league expertise over the summer?
I think we all kind of have a tendency, don't we, to like overanalyze pre-season games and results. On my show, I spoke to the Berkhamsted manager. They won their opening game and they didn't win a game throughout the whole of pre-season. They got back 7-1 in one game. They were losing to lower league sides, you know. So I think that's sort of maybe a bit of a lesson that we all maybe take it all a little bit too seriously. Obviously, from a sort of national league level, the situation at Southend continues to be a little bit troublesome, doesn't it? And that's still ticking on, sort of watching that one. Yeah, there was doubt they were going to get the season up and running, to be honest. And they've now obviously been allowed to. They got their ground safety certificate in the last minute, a few days before the start of the season. But the league is still threatening them with 10 points. Yeah. Everything goes wrong. That seems like a big question mark. More positive than the situation at Bury AFC merging with the sort of Bury fan group. They're back at Gig Lane, back playing under the name of Bury FC. That feels like a real sort of positive thing that's happened over the summer.
Well, it's funny you say that. We got Liam from the Shrimpers Trust and All at Sea fanzine joining us on the podcast later on. So good old link in there, Ollie. It's like you knew what was going on straight away, didn't you?
Do you find as well, Ollie, sort of like so much social media going on as well, it's so easy to just analyse that, you know, pre-season game because there's been nothing for like 2 months and then there's crumbs and then all of a sudden there's like a feast in front of you and it's just easy, isn't it? Just to, you know, put your thoughts across.
Yeah, totally. And clubs announcing signings as well with big fanfare. I mean, it's something that's, you know, something that's trickled down from, I guess, from Premier League football and Premier League clubs that put, you know, social media strategies together now to sort of announce that they've signed a player almost. And that's trickled down to non-league, all well and good, but often you'll see a player kind of announced as a signing in May, right, before they can even register them. And then come July, they've moved to someone else.
Are you hinting at Dover by any chance?
And not in particular. Well, there's been a few, right? There's been a few at National League and lower down as well. Players that have moved around and, jumped around and announced signings that have then turned out not to be signings. Yeah, there's one at Dover, wasn't there? It's people getting overly excited about signings. There's no harm in it, but I think everyone probably, you know, needs to just calm down and wait for the football a little bit, don't we, over the summer?
Do you think it's just because of the social media revolution that they're doing it? Because, you know, everyone knows with, like, you know, non-league, there is, like, obviously certain rules and regs. And as you say, they're not signing. If they're not contracted, they can be tempted away by somewhere else. So it seems a bit daft to sort of be touting around all over social media when, you know, it could draw the attention of a club. Oh, yeah, that's a player that's been on our radar. Let's go and try and talk him into joining us instead.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think probably in the sort of circles of managers and players, everyone sort of knows where a player is. It's hard to hide a player, isn't it? Even when you see like trialists listed on the the old sort of pre-season friendly sheets, I think a lot of people kind of know who's going where and who's doing what. But I think it's, I don't know, there's not many secrets in the world of non-league once pre-season friendly start playing. But yeah, I remember a time, you know, I'm not that long ago, where you go to a non-league match and you find out who'd signed by just sort of seeing who was coming out the tunnel at 3 o'clock. And it's sort of like, oh, who's he? Where's he come from? Or where's he gone? That sort of stuff. You know, is he away because he's on a stag do or he's on holiday? Or is he away because he's gone and joined someone else? All that stuff's sort of gone now. You obviously find out well in advance who your club signed, which, yeah, it's all good. I think it increases the interest, doesn't it? Sometimes maybe we all go a little bit over the top over the summer.
Yeah, people do get carried away. You know, I think you just, even in the circles of, you know, the club I support Worthing, you know, people are worried that we don't sign and people are worried you'd sign too many and change too many. It's like they take pre-season too much into account and it's like, hang on a second, these guys haven't even gelled yet, let alone played a few games competitively. So let's just wait and see. And, you know, it's an exciting thing and, you know, it adds to the sort of flavour of football anyway when you can talk about signings and stuff. But sometimes we say get carried away is quite too eager sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But then it's part of the fun of it, isn't it? And actually, I suppose all that social media stuff does bring in fans. You know, if a club can announce a player that people have heard of or a bit of a name, it does draw in fans. It you know, increases interest as well. So, you know, to a degree, I think it's you know, it's always a positive, isn't it? But it's nice that we've got actual games to start talking about now. All the leagues are pretty much up and running or are going to be this week. We can get actual games to get excited about.
So have you got any predictions for the forthcoming season? Obviously, we got rid of the big spenders, Wrexham, into the Football League. I mean, not that there aren't ever big spenders. You know, the National South, where Worthing are, you've got Yeovil and Torquay that have come down, which, you know, EFL clubs not that long ago that, you know, are competing in the Championship, yet, let alone the Northern Leagues as well, the National League North. Do you think we're going to see some surprises? Do you think, you know, some of those teams that are falling could fall even further?
I think it feels more open National League, doesn't it? At that top level, at the National League level, not having Wrexham and not having Notts County, I think, means that certainly Chesterfield will fancy their chances this season. I think they've brought in Ryan Boot in goal from Solihull Moors, who I think for me is the best or one of the best goalkeepers in the league. Will Grigg as well. Remember him?
Will Grigg's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He was at MK Dons last season. He's only 31. Feels like he's been around for ages.
It's amazing how he's been around for ages and he's kind of not fallen, but you'd think like he never sort of made that impact after that famous chat. Was it the Euros, I think it was, wasn't it? In 20.
Yeah, was it against Belgium? Was it the... Oh no, that I'm thinking of the Wales one, aren't I? But he was same tournament, wasn't it? The group stage he scored, didn't he? Yeah, I mean he's gone over Chesterfield. I think he's a good striker for that sort of level. Probably fancy part of Fulham Rochdale to do all right. It doesn't look like they've lost loads. They've recruited some, but I think both lost on the opening day, so maybe not. And then you Boreham Woods, you sort of Barnets, clubs like that have been knocking on the door. Bromley knocking on the door for a while. I think Boreham Wood have recruited well. Angelo Valanta's back there. He was at Dagenham Redbridge formerly at Boreham Wood. He's there. Timmy Abraham, brother of Tammy Abraham as well. It's gone to Boreham Wood, although got sent off opening day, so not a great start. But
exciting start. What do you think about these teams that have gone full-time now? Like, for example, you've got Dorking that have gone sort of a semi-full-time thing in the National, and then you've got, like, for example, Eastbourne Borough got taken over in the National South, and, you know, they're now full-time and spending a lot of money. I think they had a 2,000-plus crowd at the weekend or something, you know, so it's paying off compared to a few seasons ago. They've got rid of Danny Bloor, got a new manager in, Mark Beard, and, you know, where do you think teams like that will end up this season? Do you think it could go either way, or you got much hope for them?
Yeah, I think it's almost hard now to get promoted or challenged at the top of that second step, isn't it? If you're not full-time, if you've got players who are doing a day job as well and trying to juggle that along with their sort of football commitments, I think generally most clubs that have been promoted out of that league now have been full-time outfits. You know, you occasionally get a club will sneak into a playoff spot, but generally clubs that are going up through there are full-time, and more clubs, you know, South Shields have joined step two this season. They were pretty much full-time, I think, at step three as well.
Yeah. Well, Chris is one of the actual contributors to the podcast. He's a South Shields fan, and yeah, he was always sort of very critical of them going full time at step three before. You know, they didn't make it obviously the season before last, but now they've finally made it at a level where quite a lot of the teams are full time now, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, even Macclesfield at step four are pretty much full-time. I mean, I think sometimes we get a little bit too sort of tied up in the label of full-time or not full-time. Like some of the full-time clubs are full-time but do like 38-week contracts, so only pay players during the playing part of the season. Some part-time clubs are training three times a week and playing twice and are almost there. I remember sort of speaking to chairman, they said, actually, your costs aren't necessarily loads more, almost by the time you pay players to train three times a week and play a couple of times, almost moving full-time isn't. It's not like you're doubling your kind of wage book. So I think as long as it's sustainable, you just want to make sure the clubs are all right and they can afford to do it and they're not gambling on promotion and hoping to go up and you know, to hell with it. If they don't, they're going to go bust. You hope that isn't what happens, and I don't think it is generally. No. But yeah, it's interesting, quite the level of now professional clubs, full-time clubs at step two and even going down to step three. It looks like you sort of need to do it in order to get the training time and get the commitment from players in order to challenge.
Do you think it's taking a little bit of the fun out of non-league though? Like, you know, all these clubs going full-time, because that's why a lot of us have fallen in love with non-league. You can appreciate the National League being full-time because there's a lot of clubs that have come down from the Premier, not the Premier League, but the Football League. Do you think it's, you know, starting to muddy the waters a little bit?
Yeah, there's almost two non-leagues, isn't there? You know, we sort of use non-league to describe everything from the National League down to step six. You know, that's six tiers of football and, you know, it gets wider and wider as you go down. So you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of teams. Yeah, complete difference, isn't there, between your like your Chesterfields and your teams at the top of the National League compared to people playing in front of 40 fans on a park pitch at step six. So yeah, I think that kind of raw non-league experience of standing on the sidelines next to two men and their dog and, you know, players who have been at the pub the night before is still very much there down the leagues, isn't it? But yeah, the top level, you've got televised games, you know, you've got all the sort of sponsorship deals, you've got all the interest and all the kind of ex-EFL teams at that level. It almost feels like an extension of the Football League at that level. And now, yeah, trickling down into National League North and South. The likes of Yeovil Town competing in the National League South is absolutely bonkers, isn't it? A club of that size and, you know, facilities and stadiums of that size at that level. It's still a world apart from your sort of United Counties Division One sort of teams that we all bracket on inside the non-league.
That's what we love.
How often do you manage to get out to games, Ollie? Do you manage to get a little bit of National League, but all the way down to step six, you get that whole sort of, I suppose, breadth and width of everything?
Yeah, in all honesty, probably see more of step four, step five, step six than I do National League. So National League, local to me, we've got Boreham Wood, St Albans, Hemel, Bishop Stortford are in the National League North. It'll be really interesting how they get on. But yeah, I see an awful lot of sort of Spartan League football. Actually, this weekend, to be honest, in a break from the brand, I was at the Community Shield final watching Arsenal Man City, which feels like a bit of a misstep on the opening week of the non-league season. But yeah, that's fine. So I enjoy, yeah, football at all levels, really. A bit of a sort of groundhopper, not a prolific groundhopper like some that have ticked off sort of hundreds and hundreds and thousands of games, but I try to get about a little bit and see different clubs and, yeah, different players.
Now, Ollie, you say you go and see different clubs. Now, I've known you for a little while now, and we've known you on this podcast and through my Worthing podcast. Who is your club? Who's your non-league club? I mean, or are you very open and sort of very vague? Because there must be a club you have a little warmth towards.
Yeah, no, totally. Aylesbury United was the club I grew up supporting, and it was sort of the local hometown club. So yeah, still the club I try and see most of. Saw them in pre-season. Yeah, there's sort of a big change in personnel and squad over the summer. Yeah. Only two of the squad still there from last season, playing in the Southern Division One Central Step Four football. Actually playing in the FA Cup tonight, in the FA Cup replay tonight. Yeah, that's still kind of the first result I look for, and a club I look out for. But I try and, you know, try and hop around and see a few others.
No, I was just saying, my mates just said you played England pre-World Cup one time as Aylesbury United. Was that right?
Only non-league club to have ever.
That was Spencer from the Rebel Yell podcast. I just shout him out. I'm sitting in his living room right now, so he's a guest. He's a guest in the background of this podcast.
How you doing, Spencer? Yeah, England. The only non-league team to have ever played England, Aylesbury United, and yeah, sold out 4,000 tickets. Buckingham Road, and yeah,
that's crazy.
Slightly before I was born, I think the lead up to 88, I think, Lost 6-7-0, I think. But yeah, good exposure for the club.
And how do you think they're going to do this season? And like, what you said, it's been a big change personnel. Are you hoping for promotion, or do you think it's sort of steadying the ship at the moment? Then, you know, looking next season, or
yeah, I think it's consolidation. So the club have been without a home and not being able to play in the town for 16, 17 years now, since they lost their ground. So it is an element of just treading water, so in all honesty, and keeping the club going. There's sort of a committee of volunteers that are doing a great job of just keeping things going at the moment. They're playing at Chesham. They've previously played at places like Tame and Leighton Town as well. I'm sure the club would, and the players will say they're going for promotion. Realistically, just keeping the club going. The fact that it still exists, I think, is a bit of a miracle. But there are hopefully plans on the horizon eventually for a stadium in the town that they can share maybe with others and get back in the town. Because when you've got a non-league club and they're not playing in the place they're from, they're not playing in that community, very hard to attract fans to come to sort of another town to come and watch that club.
Raise the money and stuff, yeah. So it's tough. We've seen it around with lots of non-league clubs. But Ollie, it's been a pleasure as per usual speaking to you. Thank you for joining us. Well done. Congratulations on getting your show back on a BBC Three Counties Radio. If you are local, it's online, isn't it? You can listen to it as well, not just DAB and FM.
Yeah, BBC Sounds, you can listen back to all that stuff, everything on the BBC. So yeah, BBC Sounds is a nice way to listen back. Monday night. So yeah, any point sort of later in the week, really, it's always worth dipping in and listening back to, hopefully.
Ollie, it's been a pleasure, and good luck for the season and everything like that, and hopefully we'll get you on maybe towards the end and have thoughts of what your season's been like.
Yeah, absolutely, anytime guys, my pleasure.
Are you PNLP?
Great to hear from Ollie. Thanks always for joining us on the Premier Non-League podcast. Guys, it's fab, isn't it? You know, when, you know, our own little non-league world of podcasts and vlogs, and we all do kind of look out for each other. Obviously, Chris, Pete, you know, that's how we got to know each other. Trev, we got to know you through that and everything like that. And that's how we formed our own podcast. So, bloody hell, we nearly made 50 episodes. Can you believe that? I can't actually believe that. You know, it would have probably been a damn sight more if it hadn't been for bloody COVID. But, you know, we did all right, didn't we, throughout COVID? Because we basically did podcasts without talking about any bloody football. How we ever did that, I don't know. But I think, you know, if you're listening to this podcast now, send us in. We have got some loyal listeners. Send in your sort of thoughts and memories of the podcast, any highlights you've had over the past few seasons, and we could talk about them again, our 50th. Because I think, you know, it does kind of resonate. And, you know, it's weird now. I don't know if you guys think about it. You kind of look back sometimes and think, bloody hell, was COVID real? Like, you know, there's going to be times in the future there are going to be some blockbuster movie in 50 years' time when we're putting on this planet, and people aren't going to believe it, but we lived through it. And you know, it's crazy to think that's all in the past now. Although I still don't understand when people get on my planes wearing face masks, but you know, okay. Yeah,
Each to their own, mate.
But then again, I joke about it. Me and the missus went to Japan in 2019, and they've always worn face masks on public transport. And we bought a pack of them, taking the piss, and wore them on public transport, let alone thinking less than a year later we would be wearing them as part of daily life. It's weird, isn't it? But anyway, we forget about COVID in the past. Stories of non-league overseas. I think it's, you know, one that Trev, I know you always put the post on a Sunday about the non-league paper. Over the summer, their founder passed away, which it really rocked the non-league world, because I saw lots pouring out of tributes from lots of clubs. And, you know, we can't lie. So that's where we, you know, have a read through before we, you know, get a podcast and get some stories to talk about. But a massive loss, wasn't it, Trev?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was reading a couple of things around the time as well with a couple of people that used to write for the paper, like Stuart Hammonds, who's now at Luton Town. He edited the paper for quite a few years under David's tutelage as well. And when you sort of read through his memories and others as well, you know, he might have set the title up and not been, you know, editor in charge and anything more like that. But he'd still grab a keyboard and stick a couple of pieces together, he'd read through, he'd proofread people's stuff and everything like that. And, you know, he's the reason we have a non-league paper today, which covers everything right from step one down to seven and, you know, a little bit beyond that as well.
And I find in this day and age of newspapers and everything going online, I mean, we've seen newspapers fold for, you know, scandal reasons over years. And you know for a fact, you know, even at work, I use, as you know, you guys all know, I work for an airline. And before, when I first joined, you'd have papers all at the gate for passengers to pick up. You don't even see that anymore because everything's online. The print journalism is disappearing fast. And I mean, Trev, you make part of your living out of online vlogging. And, you know, this is the way the world is moving. But to have a newspaper that,
you know, still is read by loads of people, is still obviously making enough money to cover the publishing. Because at the end of the day, in this day and age, you know for a fact, if it wasn't making the money, it wouldn't be published. It would be an online vlog or blog or podcast and stuff like that. And it's great to see. So when, you know, when the founder sort of passed away, David Emery, you kind of think, wow, imagine if like he hadn't ever thought about this, would we have had the world of non-league and stuff in this nowadays? And the fact that, I mean, was he the guy that did the Football League paper as well? Was that him, or was that just put part of the
side? Yeah, part of the same group as
So it's part of the same group, isn't it? And it's, you know, can I think of any, I can think of the Daily Sport, and that's completely different. That's nothing to do with football and stuff like that. I mean, I don't really know about someone doing something to a roast beef dinner at Toby Carvery. I don't think that's classed as football, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's great to see. And, you know, long may it continue. And I think, you know, with fans and non-league and the way it is, it's called delirium, Pete. That's what it is. I told you, it was a risk of getting me on. I did ask to go half an hour earlier, Trev, but now he's past my bedtime and this is when delirium sets in. But there we go. Talking crap. Anyway, moving on. One thing I did notice, I did say, put it in the group earlier. Yeah, one thing I read over the summer in non-league paper, which really was interesting, because I kept every week there was one over the summer, which was fantastic. You know, you think, don't even go on a season break, is that Eastwood Community FC in the United Counties Premier North teamed up with Benfica, of all clubs. I mean, that's big. That is big. And I remember in the day, as you know, I'm a Charlton fan. I think it was Benfica that teamed up with Charlton back in the days when we were in the Premier League, actually. And Trev, you agree? Was that?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And, you know, we had...
It didn't last long, though, did it? I think
Javier Portillo was playing for... Mm. Was it? Did he play for... And he very nearly went on loan, or something nearly happened. But how has that come about? How does a non-league club at that level attract Benfica?
I can't remember what it was. I read it, but you're going back quite a few months.
Yeah, it was 18th of June. 18th of June. It is a little while away.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I can't remember what it was that put the story in, but what are they, step six?
Oh, what's Chris? Would you know United Counties Premier North?
I mean the level.
Yeah.
I suppose the world is a smaller place now with social media and the World Wide Web. It's kind of, sometimes you just get these little chance moments online. It's like South Shields having fans in America, in Brazil. They just see things online. It can just happen by chance, can't it? So you might just meet somebody on a holiday, turns up at a game, who knows?
Right, this is what I've just Googled now, and this is actually on Benfica. As you know, as we're in Portugal, as I'm recording right now, so it's come up straight away. It's loaded Benfica's website, the actual official website. SL Benfica and Eastwood Community Football Club established partnership. The agreement makes it possible for the club's coaches to work permanently in England.
That was it,
So it gives them an opportunity to work.
Is it something to do with the new EU rules then?
It must be to do with EU rules, but it obviously gives them an opportunity. Maybe they're sending coaches out to England to get experience of that, and, you know, vice versa, you know, a bit of the world. And, you know, these are things, though. It's for Mango Football. It's something called Mango Football, a joint partner, Mango Football, part of this pilot project with a view for setting up further technical partnerships with other regions of the United Kingdom. Pete, should I get talking to some guys around Lisbon right now? See if we can get some, like, get some, I mean, I wouldn't mind a pre-season tour of Lisbon. Can you imagine that? That'd be all right. Get some Sagresen and some...
You'll be on some flight to India, though, when that happens.
Guys, any other sort of, anything of note you've noticed over the non-league season? A non-league off-season from the papers, any interesting stories, signings, anything?
Well, the only thing I really picked up on, really, which gave me cause to sort of laugh, was, hate going back to him again, but it's Dover signing players, and then 2 weeks later, they weren't signed for him anymore. It's like,
I don't think their contracts are very watertight, are they?
What's going on down there? So I found that really strange and odd.
Yeah. It was very, very strange. I mean, something's going on. I mean, Pete, we all know your thoughts of Dover. And, you know, to be fair, they are a real... Well, again, I'm not going to edit it. But you know what I mean? You know what I'm thinking about? The words I'm thinking of using. And as I said last season, I made the rearranged game. And I felt sorry for their fans. Because, Trev, you know Kent football quite well. Their fans... I feel sorry for them because they're actually a decent bunch and they wished us well. They're very nice. They came up to us and said, bloody hell, Worthing are a good side. You know, they're going to do well this season. They're really nice people. And yet even a couple say, I'm sorry for our twatty chairman. You know, like, that's the thing, you know. It's just such a shame that, like, a club can... Even when Hayden was trying to do the post-match interview with Hinch, he was getting shouted at to get off the pitch. He's like, I'm Worthing's media. Oh, we'll have to ask permission first. I'm interviewing our manager. That's what I'm doing. Well, it's the BBC's right. And it's like, no. You know, these silly things. And it'd be interesting to see what happens with Worthing when they come down. Well, Worthing, I hope they don't entertain Dover. And I hope clubs start making a stand, because... It's just nice for nice. There's no laws or regulations. Not like you're overthrowing TNT Sport, whatever it's called now. You know, you're an own club. You know, we have got rules that we have to upload at a certain time. So why are they still... There's something deep-rooted in that club. And does it all start with the chairman?
Quite possibly. On the flip side of it, I'd say if he pulls out now, then Dover would fold just like that. They've always struggled with their location where they are. I mean, they're flipping closer to France than they are trying to play in some...
Well, you were just a chantless. You're just an S team in Calais. S team in Calais.
And I mean, even going back to the late 80s, early 90s, when they were really successful under Chris Kinnear, they never trained down Dover, where they always trained mid-Kent to West Kent, so that players that they were signing were only travelling once a week down to Dover, because players were... that they could then pick players up from south of the water, just north of the water, because I've only got to travel that one day down there, maybe two if they get a Tuesday night home game as well. But their position just really goes against them. It really does. And the area's not in the greatest shape. And unless, and again, as we all well know, if you're not pumping a bit of money into a football club, you've got no hope, really, of going anywhere at all.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see, because I don't listen to these fan tables, but a lot of fans have got them going down or relegation fodder. So it's going to be interesting to see.
To be fair, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest. I think Mitch has got a massive job on his hands. I spoke to him. He was at the our playoff eliminator game against Boreham Wood back in May. And I spoke to him then, and he struggled last season to get players in. As well, this year, from what I can see from the players they've signed, their budget's even lower than it was last year. So you're almost asking for trouble. And then you see the trouble they had signing players and then actually keeping them before they moved on anywhere else. And, you know, the in joke was when they actually did sign someone, was the comment underneath was, until he signs for someone else.
Do you think it was a bit weird that it was quite vocal on social media and the way
Mitch?
Yeah, and the way Dover's social media.
Yeah, he's not... Mitch isn't a shrinking violet. I know that when we had him at Barnet before he left and went to, where do you go, Farnborough and then on to Dover. The good thing he's got on his side is he's liked down there because of his previous spells there. People will be prepared to give him a chance. They pretty much know he's got one hand tied behind his back. But the draw they got against Torquay at the weekend, coming from 2-0 down against a side that should be finishing that top two, you know, should give him a little bit of confidence. But he's really going to have to play on his contact book, I think, to keep him out of the bottom four.
Staying in the south, one thing I was interested in is Eastbourne Borough going full time. Danny Blore moving on. Mark Beard taking over, one of a great coach at Dorking Wanderers, obviously friends of the podcast there. What are your thoughts on Eastbourne Borough? Is it going to be an interesting ride, or do you think they really are going to make a go of it?
Well, the centre spread in the paper this week, in the non-league paper actually, was pretty good. I spoke to David Blackmore a few weeks ago, who's still chairman there. And reading through the article as well, they're trying to set themselves up to be ready for not just going through the National League, but into League Two as well, which I think is lovely. And they're making lots of improvements down there for the good, actually. I actually can't wait to go down and actually have a look. The only thing that struck me from what Simon Leslie, the owner, was saying, and do you know what? He actually looked quite familiar. I don't know why. I don't know if I've seen him somewhere else before, and he's an Eastbourne lad, but anyway, was that they want players on loan from the Premier League and then send them back as better products. And I looked at it and I thought, that's lovely, but why do you want to take someone else's players and develop them, and then you send them back to where they came from?
Yeah.
Why are you not developing your own players and then bringing them through and then you sell them on for a profit. One or two maybe, but you don't want five or six players coming down because they don't buy into your club ethos. They're not your players.
But well, they don't play for the badge, do they?
No, and we had that a couple of years ago. I mean, so many players come in on loan, and again, end of the season, they're going back to their parent club. So that struck me as a little strange. Like, I understand having a couple. He did make the point that Arsenal only send out normally their goalkeepers and defenders, and they've trusted them with a centre forward. He's obviously young. Signings they've made, I think, are good. They'll be up there.
Yeah.
Whether they've got enough for a first year full time, yeah. There's a lot of cup finals in that division. Your Torquays, your Yeovils, your Maidstones, all the full time sides. Eastbourne have put themselves in that category.
Well, they changed their logo, and I actually think it's for the better. A lot of people are taking the mick out of it, but I think it looks better now. There was no consultation with the fans, which is always a way to sort of endear themselves. They should have put maybe a few designs out. But I mean, I felt the old badge was a little bit scatty, you know. Like, I know it's sort of a nod to the sports and everything like that, but you know, Langley Sports as it was. But Trev, you spoke to David Blackmore on Trev Talks podcast, your own podcast, and you know, what was it interesting? What did he have to say?
Hey, David gave a bit more insight to it. As well, they've still got the CIC version of it, which we learned about from him. We had him on the podcast earlier last year, so that's still part of it. So that's still got an interest in it. I can't remember exactly what the percentage was now, but it needed someone, he said, that needed to come in and take the club to the next level. They've done as much as they can do. And when you look at, when you read through the article in the paper there, that... you know, they put in a new tea bar, they put in a restaurant. The players come in for training at 9 a.m. They all eat breakfast together. They've got lunch together. I think they're putting a gym in as well. They're sorting the hospitality out. So it all costs money. You know, and again, as we know, if you don't pump it in, you're literally trying to allocate funds to one project before you start the next one.
The thing that worries me, have they got the sort of financial support of the fans? You know, do they get the crowds that would dictate the expenditure? Because obviously they need to make it back somehow.
Well, they had nearly 2,000 on Saturday.
Was that because of a new era, though?
I don't know. Me and Gaz didn't go last. We went the year before when they played Tunbridge. And I think Dave was expecting, I remember what he said would have been a good gate, 800, I think, something like that, and they had 1,200.
Yeah.
So they do average around about 1,000.
I mean, I think, you know, a lot of, as Pete knows, Worthing fans seem to, you know, I think it's more the Danny Blore connection, had a bit of sort of bitter rivalry with sort of Eastbourne. I was at the ball. When I went there, I thought it was a nice ground, I thought it was a nice thing. I have to say, as you guys know, what my preferred type of holiday is, I'm very jealous of their shirt sponsors. Norwegian Cruise Line. Oh, okay. And I was like, that's the cruise line I often go on when I'm on holiday. I was like, if only that was Worthing, you know, we got a new sponsor. But apparently it's because he's linked with travel and he's from the travel industry.
Yeah, there was
travel agencies or something.
There's another bit actually in the article, if I grab it, that they've got Norwegian Cruise. British actor and US TV host Oliver Trevano has also come on board. I haven't heard of him myself, but apparently the circles he moves in is the next thing they sort of want to get, you know, across into. He was at Gerard Butler's screening the other week. Last week, sitting next to John Henry at the Boston Celtic games. So,
interesting. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's ambitious.
I mean, you know, this American connection, I think we might be talking, as we joked off air, we might be talking about Crawley Town next season. That's the way they're going.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, because this Preston guy, is it Preston? What's his name?
I can't remember his surname.
The guy with the big beard, the one that decided it thought it'd be a good idea to sit on the bench for a game last season. Weirdo. But, you know, I do think, you know, there's always that, you know, and I know from, like, you know, talking, you know, as you know, I'm involved in the Sports Association at where we talk to, like, the chairman, you know, as I said, like, in terms of the stand, like, they're honest and they say, look, at the end of the day, we're not going to put new terracing in because if we get promoted, we can get it. there are all these grants available, but there are other things they can do. You look at Eastbourne, and I think, you know, fair enough, they're investing this money, and I hope it doesn't go Pete Tong, because Eastbourne are a good club. Eastbourne are a good set of fans. You know, they're a nice club. I like going there. It's the only thing we've really got to rivalry in the National League South at the moment, and if you can call it a rivalry, because they're local. They're East versus West Sussex. You know, it's one of those. And, you know, I like to see all Sussex clubs prosper, and we've got a pretty good sort of football down in sort of Sussex and Surrey. But it always does concern me, as, you know, maybe it's been proven wrong, but, you know, Hollywood FC, is Wrexham, they ploughed shit. Sorry, it's loads of money into it. And, you know, a lot of that money's now been made in Wrexham, or Welcome to Wrexham, whatever it's called. And, you know, that's, you know, it's a way of funding. Reynolds and McElhenney are clever, because they've managed to find a source of the income that's going to end up being able to be pumped back into the club. It's why clubs like, you know, as much as love them or hate them, hashtag United, they're getting big money because of their YouTube and sponsorships and stuff like that, which is bringing money into the club. It's a modern way day of funding. But from a traditional owner, I hope he doesn't get bored. He's an Eastbourne boy, as you say, Trev. So it'd be interesting to see. And, you know, Danny Blore, I think, was quite surprised he wasn't involved. But, you know, when you get a new owner, quite often they're going to want to have their own sort of stamp on it, and a change of, which, you know, good luck to them. I think it'll be interesting to see the season. And I'm sure we'll be talking about them throughout. And, you know, I can't remember when we're having a play in them. It's not too long ago. In the national North, Chris, any other interesting stories from around, even not even a North, but, you know, step 3-4 around there? Anything you've been interested in over the summer?
It's going to be an interesting season. I was sorting out my football app at the weekend, setting up all the leagues to see, you know, what I was interested in. And the Northern Premier League, it was nice to see new names in the league, one of which is Macclesfield, of course. Macclesfield, Worksop, Workington are back in the Northern Premier League. Ex-Football League club, of course, like Macclesfield. There's been a few moves across, though. Basford and Ilkeston have gone from the Southern Premier Central back into the Northern Premier League. So, but just to, and then also to see hashtag United in one of those leagues was just weird. To see a team called hashtag United, it's just bizarre. But they're there.
Sorry, go on, Chris.
No, I was going to say, but they are there. You know, they're there on merit, aren't they?
Yeah, I did see one of the set of predictions. I think it was the Non-League Bible on Instagram had actually put hashtag at the top. Dulwich, who obviously have got their superb 3,000-odd average support, down in about 8. And then Horsham, who finished just outside the playoffs last year, in 20th. Now, I don't know if it was designed just to rile a few and you know, a bit of mickey taking, but I don't think they got that table anywhere close to where it's going to be.
No, not at all. Clubs that, you know, you find out very quickly just how tough these leagues are. And while, for instance, back in the North, you know, Macclesfield, we've got a huge budget, Worksop kind of walked the Northern Premier League East Division last year.
Yeah,
they'll quickly find out just how tough it is, because there are other clubs already at that level who are desperate to get out, who already have budgets in place, the likes of Radcliffe, who are going to be there or thereabouts, Matlock, who will be there or thereabouts. These are tried and trusted clubs with a long history at this level. They know what it takes. So I'm fascinated just to see how it's going to pan out. Yes, it's great to be out of it in the National League North, but it's going to be great to watch from the sidelines, as it were. It's going to be a really interesting season at every level, I think.
Well, we're also going to be keeping an eye on John Sayers, Ashton United, just to see us. Absolutely. United, Chris. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, because he seemed quite confident, if you listen to the podcast, that they're going to make go this season. So that'll be an interesting one.
That's exactly the point I make. You know, these clubs, I mean, Ashton, of course, you've got to remember, they were National League North not so long ago. So, you know, Macclesfield, Worksop, et cetera, who they're going to throw things at it, just as it's proved with South Shields having to take so long to get out of that league.
Yeah.
These clubs, hashtag United, all the others, they'll quickly find out just how tough it really is.
And obviously, talking about National League South, National League streaming services coming to the South and North this season. Yeah. How do you think that's going to go?
No idea. I had a quick chat with one or two lads at South Shields just after a pre-season game, and they're not exactly certain how it's going to work. I asked who's going to provide the actual equipment. And unfortunately, the media guy at South Shields, Danny, was on holidays, but the couple of lads I spoke to literally were just still in the dark. Are clubs going to want to do it? Or who's responsible for providing the service? Who's going to provide commentary?
I joked last season when we were playing in the playoffs, I thought Pete would be knocking on the door in the National League going, I'm a commentator. Can I do the Worthing game? But I think, did they do their own, Pete? I think remote.
Yeah, they do their own remote, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
But how are they going to cover all the games? I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, I know.
They don't. Clubs are supposed to provide them. They were in the National League last year.
So will it be like you're in some replay, sort of, for providing a live stream sort of thing like that for Worthing?
No, TNT provided all the cameras.
Okay.
They basically set up every.
I can't get used to that. TNT Sports. It's so American.
Basically,
yeah.
How it works is they set up with a one camera option for you. So wherever your main vantage point is, if you want more cameras, which like Notts County, I think, add like looking about four or five, then you pay for those as a club yourself. So it depends on what you want. But as far as I was aware, the home club had to provide commentary, or there was just no commentary. You literally just had the stream. But I don't tend to flipping have any of the commentaries up anyway, because when you start playing the away teams, they get a little bit too biased between, you know, for themselves, and you're sort of like, hang on.
I've never been biased.
I wasn't suggesting you, Pete.
Oh, shut up!
No, boys, no.
He told me off for being too biased.
No, I didn't tell you off for being biased. It's being Aggie.
Actually, this is the bone of contention, because Pete, how many times have you sworn and had to apologise even to our sponsors for swearing or people? I only said piss off. You said f off or something, effing hell or something like that.
No, we beat Farnborough in that game last season, and I dropped the.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's 10 times worse than saying piss off.
Once.
I told the referee to piss off anyway.
So anyway,
have it out at Slough, and you can hear me and Pete reunited on the airwaves on RebelYell.live. Yeah, buzzing.
Can I get a word in?
No. Right,
who's going to pay £9.95 anyway? I think that's quite expensive.
Is it a game or a month?
Well,
they're doing a season pass or
no? You can't because you can only buy a stream in the UK if it's not a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday. So basically, it applies to
Tuesdays.
If you're on TNT, you can't pay for that game either, Mr. May. That's better. but I mean, when they brought it in, obviously.
They're going to put games on TNT as the National South. Sorry, are they putting National South and North on TNT?
Yeah, they will do. Yeah.
Oh, they are. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. When they first stuck it out and everyone's going, well, what's the price going to be? And obviously they did it like really reduced when no one could get into ground and stuff. And then when they stuck it out and that as an actual thing last year, the year before, I can't remember how long the National League's actually done it. And people went, oh, it's £9.95. And I looked and I went, well, what's wrong with that? Well, why would I want to pay that to watch a game? And I went, hang on, you actually go to the game, you'll pay your petrol or your train fare, you'll pay double that to get in, and then you'll pay for your food and drink, and you're quibbling, that will cost you probably, what, a good 40, 50, 60 quid? And you're quibbling about paying £9.95. I'm like, give your head a wobble. That's actually cheap. Because missing out on all that extra secondary spend you're not paying for.
But I'm going to put this out there that some clubs have got smaller fan bases than others. I'm presuming all this money goes into the coffers, and then it's distributed equally amongst the clubs.
No, what happens is if they're still following the same pattern as last year, when you register as a fan, say Pete, you sign up for the service. It'll ask you to select which club you support. If you don't support any of the clubs, you just select no club. So you select Worthing, same as James Wood. Chris would select South Shields. So if you log on and watch a Worthing or a South Shields,
actually do Bognor
or a Barnet game, the home team will get 60% of the money you pay. Okay. The other 30 or 40, I can't remember what it is, I think 10 goes to the National League itself. 30 then gets split between the other. Well, I think it's the North and South as well, so it'd be 72 was it 60 clubs, 60, 48, 72 clubs, yeah. So it gets split between that. If you watch it as a neutral fan, say I watch South Shields versus Gloucester or whatever, then my whole pot is split between the 72 clubs because I'm not a fan of either. That was the model they had last year. I can't imagine they're going to change it.
Yeah. Right, but going back to your point about how much it costs a fan to go to a game, et cetera, et cetera, will this have a negative impact on non-league football?
Because
during the winter months, obviously they're spreading it now. National League slightly different because there's a bit more press about the National League, even on, you know, Sky, etc. But if it's going to North and South, then my fear is, come the darkest depths of winter, then people are going to go, do you know what? I'm not going to put my money into the club. I'm going to watch it on the TV at home.
You'd only be able to do it on a Tuesday night. You won't be able to do it on a Saturday.
Well, yeah. That's what I mean. Midweek.
Cold, dark, wet Tuesday in Dover.
From the research they've done, it doesn't affect the attendances. Those people that go.
Well, we don't know that yet until this season, do we? With the North.
No, this is what based on last year. Yeah. I've said as well. It's personal preference. I'll go to a game, regardless of what the weather's like, because that's what I want to do. I want to watch it live. The only thing that would actually counter that for me would be we're away at Halifax on a Tuesday night. Now, I've got no chance of having the day off work to go up there because I'd have to have the Wednesday off as well to get back. Mm. Instead, I possibly might have gone to a step 3, 4, 5, or 6 game. So they may lose out on a bit of cash there because I'm actually pumping it in to watch Barnet play instead. But I've not seen much evidence as well between our supporters last year when they could have, we had a lot of Tuesday night games because of games called off and our running the trophy. Quite a lot of people could have taken those Tuesdays off, watched it on the stream, but the hardcore went. They always will. It's the floaters that you want to keep catching as well.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, you do. You know, and
here we go. And I'm the one that normally gets told off.
Hopefully, you know, I'll say it's horses for courses. It's you make your own choice as to how you want to do it. I'm always for life in front of me, whatever level I'm watching. I'd much prefer that. I'm not an armchair man, but some people are. Right, Liam's coming.
Well, guys, we can tell we haven't spoken for a long time on the podcast. We've got lots to talk about and lots to chew the fat about. But I think one of the big stories this summer has been Southend United.
Can't keep about the news.
Liam, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for joining us. Nice to see you. How nice was it to see your team playing on Saturday when probably 2 weeks ago, probably if you hadn't been living under the rock for the last 6 months, we probably didn't think it was going to happen. Welcome to the Premier Non-League podcast, first episode of the season, mate. How are you doing?
Thanks, James. Yeah, I'm great. I'm in a great mood.
After that game, yeah, of course.
That was a coupon buster, man. Yeah. That was great. No one saw that one coming. We got 14 fit players out of a squad of 16. Jason Demetriou joined the coaching staff sort of last minute this summer and then got re-registered as a player. You know, it's just like none of the successful ingredients for winning 4-0 on the opening day are anything that we were throwing together. And yet somehow we managed to do it. It was astonishing. I was telling all my mates, you could get Oldham -2 on the handicap and you could get them at 11-1. And I was like, lump on it. You're buying money.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy to think the story of you becoming on the podcast. Obviously, I wasn't around for the first time you came on. Was back in March, I think, with the winding up order. And you
Which
know,
one?
Oh yeah, I know. how many fingers you got, mate? You know, that's the thing.
Not enough.
Not enough. So just tell us since then. You know, for those people that don't follow it closely, as a fan, you know, obviously we know you're involved in the club with the podcast and you're on the supporters trust as well, aren't you, and everything like
that's
that.
That's right, yeah, just come from the board meeting.
Yeah, I know, yeah, Trev was saying it's quite a busy one tonight, as I'm sure it was, but what's the story been since then, like when we got you on sort of one of many winding up orders, and how has your journey been as a fan?
It's absolutely heart-wrenching. I think the first and foremost thing to say is that, you know, since probably so the we've been under an embargo since the end of September last year, where Ron Martin has effectively down tools and
you're actually saying his name on the podcast. I thought it'd be a swear word. Do you want me to beep it out for you?
I'm not. We're not in Harry Potter now. I'm not gonna treat him like a cartoon villain. But he's an awful bloke. I happily go on record saying that.
I write
that in every issue. Yeah. He effectively, Down Tools has not been putting any money into the club. Players, staff, casual staff, suppliers, local suppliers, all unpaid in all of this time, just debts racking up. HMRC, yeah, that's our money. HMRC is like taxes, right? That's what that's what hospitals get their money from. That's what the fire service get their money from. He's just not paying his tax, right? The bloke is absolutely despicable. And it's just been gut-wrenching because everybody's bills are going up and he's sat there going, nah, it's fine. He's got a helicopter with Southend United on the side, and he filled it with fuel for his son's wedding over the summer. So his son flew a helicopter to the club's helicopter to his wedding, and he's not been paying his staff on time.
Now, working in aviation myself, I'd never want to see any harm to an aircraft. But I'm sure
I'll give you permission on this occasion to desecrate a Southend United badge.
The bloke is a monster.
And like, you forget the football for a second, right? That is just completely and utterly unacceptable for if you want to be cynical and call it a business, you can. But like, for an entity of cultural significance in the local area, for someone to just completely and totally like deny any responsibility and just wash their hands of the whole thing is completely and utterly unacceptable. It is disgusting, right? So when the club has been up for sale, we lost games, we won games towards the end of the season. We've got a really good first 11, right? And the result on Saturday showed that. And we can't build a squad, we can't do anything like that. But fundamentally, right, people are going unpaid and this bloke is basically just getting away with it. And he's stringing the whole thing out. We've been under this sort of like, what is going to happen to us situation until the National League made their announcement, I want to say, sort of like middle of last week. I do genuinely lose track of time with all of this. But they basically said, look, you've got to pay HMRC and you've got to pay all your football creditors, or we're going to impose a 10-point penalty on you. And at that point, someone's finally put the whip hand. Someone's got the whip hand over Ron. And he's had to start putting money in, taking money out of his pocket and paying the people he should have been paying all these months. It is disgusting that he has been able to get away with it for so long. And I don't think that reflects badly on the National League, because they do want the situation to resolve itself.
Yeah.
But someone should have done something sooner than they have, because this is, frankly, it's been completely embarrassing.
Now, are you surprised the National League have allowed you to play this season?
Yes.
Yeah. So what, yes. Your summer, yeah, everyone, I've read it every week in the National League paper, mate. I've read it on social, I've read it on the internet.
Trev.
But you know, what was it? What's the website again, Trev? I forgot.
No, not on mine.
Now I thought you were going to plug yours there.
Good,
dude. There you go. There we go. Yeah. Anyway, I've given you the opportunity there. Anyway, moving back on. I genuinely thought it wasn't going to happen. I'm sure everyone on here thought it wasn't going to happen. I mean, as I said, to put almost two fingers up on Saturday and get a result where, you know, you thought it wasn't going to happen yourself. What was the point of the summer you thought this just definitely ain't going to happen?
It's a level of existential dread that's carried all the way through.
It's almost day in, day out. You're like, what's happening in Southend United today?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the inside of it and I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I haven't got a clue. The really difficult point was the bid from Kimura, who are a London-based financial services firm. They got two local lads as part of their senior management team, and they were outed essentially as an interested party in buying the club. And there was a lot of public, you know, exposés, but sort of like, you know, they got in the press about who they were and what they were planning and all of this sort of stuff. And then it went quiet. And we thought, oh, right, okay, so maybe they're not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ron is an is not just a nasty piece of work, but he's quite nefarious and quite surreptitious and quite sort of scurrilous, right? So there was no other publicly available parties. We didn't know who else was interested. And the fans, right, we're just desperate to get rid of him. It is really at this point where it's like anyone but Ron. Do you know what I mean? That is the sort of overriding emotion for everybody here, because we just fundamentally cannot, like, are struggling to support a football club that can't find more than 14 players. It's like a difficult thing to get on board with.
Yeah.
So I think the most difficult point in the summer was like when those noises about when the excitement of like these potential buyers coming in, when that started to die out. And everybody was under NDA, so we couldn't, you know, there was no publicly available information. No one had publicly entered the race. No one had publicly withdrawn, because everything was covered by these non-disclosure agreements. We had reached out, the trust had reached out to the agent who had been global. Is it General Sports Worldwide, I think, is their name? I keep saying global, but he'd employed an agent to help sell the club. Didn't get anywhere with them, didn't get anywhere with the hierarchy at the club. You know, chief exec Tom Lawrence, who's a fan, he, you know, just hid behind the NDA. They all hid behind the NDA. And it was when it all went quiet that we started to get really worried. And you think, okay, Ron's going to be in charge, isn't he? This is still going to keep going on. This is still going to keep happening. And realistically, it was only when the worst part of all of that was the court case, I think on like the 1st of July or something like that. We had a July court case. We had another winding up order. So we had one winding up order in March that was dismissed. Then we had another tax bill that was heard in May. That was adjourned till July. So I went in court. Ron at this point hasn't paid like barristers or legal representation. So he was in court representing himself. And I had a fucking heart attack when he stood up speaking to the judge. You know, when you watch films, right? Yeah. And the main character goes, well, I'll just represent myself. And all of the legal people go, you're an idiot. You're a complete idiot. So that was a specific like 30 second low point where he started opening his own mouth in court. And you think, okay, this could all be over at the end of this sentence. But yeah, just not knowing what's been going on. So that sort of constant level of dread has only been alleviated by the National League stepping up and saying, we're going to deduct you 10 points if you don't sort just the basics, the absolute basics out.
Yeah.
That was so welcome.
I think the lack of communication as well, Liam, like across the summer as well, especially when it looked as if it was getting close, then it was drifting away. And then I saw a lot of infighting amongst Southend fans because somebody was putting out something, somebody didn't agree with that, somebody wasn't sure that was correct, someone wasn't sure that was false. It's kind of divided, hasn't it? The you know, practically everybody.
It has, and I think that there are interested parties. I think the sort of the sale of the football club was simplified a few weeks ago when he announced, because there's all this stuff about a prospective new stadium, which is essentially for the purposes of the sale been binned. So I think there are interested parties now, because you're buying training ground, football stadium, football club and debt. So it's a normal transaction in that sense. I think there are interested parties, and I do think that they would like to be open and honest and upfront, but Ron controls everything at the moment. So you have to do business with him. The people wanting to buy the football club aren't doing a transaction with the fans. They're doing a transaction with a bloke who doesn't pay his staff because he doesn't want to, because he feels he doesn't have to, and doesn't pay his taxes because he doesn't want to, because he feels he doesn't have to, you know. So the communication breakdown from everybody has been the case, but it's been enforced by the one person because you have to do business with this man. So he has some control over the terms under which that business is done. So we've all just been suffering in other people's silence. It's been, as I say, it's just been sort of, it has been a real existential level of dread that you can't really, you have no agency over. We can't really do anything about it. We're just sort of witnesses. It's like watching a football game. Imagine if you were like, you know, imagine if you were playing Chelsea and you went 1-0 up after five minutes, and then you spend the entire game on the back foot and you think they're going to do it here. They're going to score, but they haven't yet, but they're knocking on the door. They're camped on the edge of your area. Now imagine if that went on for about 4 months.
Yeah.
Imagine if you had that feeling of like, oh, they're gonna put 10 past us here and it's all gonna be over. Mm. You know, it's like that. I've lived a very safe and privileged upbringing in the southeast of England. And so I say this with an enormous amount of privilege, but I've never known anything like it. It's been genuinely horrible. I do not know how the staff at the club have coped. It's been appalling.
Yeah, they've been fantastic, haven't they? Just like you mentioned that word suffering as well. The back end of last year, we had Tackle This Together, who are very big on mental health and in non-league football at the moment. They've just launched last year a great incentive to get a mental health first aider into every grassroots club they can. What was it like for just you, your mental health over the summer with your club, literally at death's door every single day, maybe inching away one day and then that inches back further to it?
It's really a horrible feeling because it underpins a lot of my connection with my town. I live in Brighton. So I go to as many away games as I do home, but my parents still live there, and a lot of my friends that I go to games with still live there. My mum's in her late 60s and my dad's in his 70s now. And if that football club folded, I would not be there for them. I would not see them anywhere near as many times as I do. Like they would die without, you know, potentially without me being able to get to hospital in time, because I don't go back as frequently as I do. And that might sound really overdramatic, but like it's one of the chief reasons I feel drawn to the town I grew up in is the club. It's the excuse I have to go back and see my friends and to go back and see my family, right? And the thought that I know that if that wasn't there, I would find a different reason not to go back every other week or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And that, and it, that scared me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to miss out on things. I'm going to miss out on time. What time, you know, I'm lucky they're healthy. And so are my friends, but my friends are having kids. I'm going to miss out on seeing them grow up, and I'm going to miss out on like the autumnal years of my mum and dad, potentially. That was all running through my mind all the way through this. And it was horrible. Yeah. It's put an enormous strain on my girlfriend and I's relationship because I'm distracted all the time. I work in a factory, and so I don't sit in front of computers all day. So I come home and do lots of Zoom calls in the evening. The one I was on this evening was about 2.5 hours long, and that in general that's been every Monday, and so we don't spend as much time together as I would like, and hopefully as she would like, although maybe she's sick of me by now. but it has affected every personal relationship that I have. This summer has like stress tested a lot of it, and I have not enjoyed it, and it's not over yet. So I'm not going to draw any conclusions, but like it has been really tough, and it has asked a lot of questions about me and the people I'm closest to. Yes. And it should be a game that on a Saturday afternoon for a laugh.
Yeah,
we should be like, you should, this should not be a big chat. We should be having a laugh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Liam, it's great to hear from you. I mean, do you say you're in Brighton?
I am, yeah, I am.
You're just down the road from me and Pete and Worthing. So, you know, you fancy a cup game one time. Maybe we'll see Southend Worthing in the trophy or the FA Cup. Be quite nice. And we could have a few pints and chew the fat over it one time this season. Because
I would love to. I was gutted to see you not quite make it through the playoffs last year. I was thinking, if they come up, I'd have love a local derby.
It would have been fantastic. But I think it was just one season too soon. Maybe we'll see you this season. But, you know, come on later on in the season when hopefully everything's all sorted itself out and you've got a new owner, and, you know, keep in touch with us because, you know, it's a fascinating story. We do appreciate you taking your time out to talk and fill in the PNLP's fan base and let them know what's going on. But just give a shout out. You're a part of the All at Sea fanzine, am I correct in saying?
Yeah, I'm one of the co-editors with Jay Forsyth. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're part of the Shrimpers Trust. So do keep an eye on them. You are on social media. What's your addresses on social media?
Best thing to find us on Twitter is at All at Sea Fanzine. Cool, is the best thing. So you'll find anything and everything Southend United related there.
No,
I follow.
Thanks, Pete.
Friend. Anyway, that's just an ongoing joke. That's an ongoing joke. Anyway, Liam, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck for the season. I'm sure we'll be speaking to you. I'm sure this roller coaster of a journey will continue, and hopefully for the ascent rather than the descent throughout the season.
It feels weird to have had such a big chat when we won 4-0 on the opening day.
Crazy,
but,
isn't it? Yeah.
But you did ask. So
crazy.
So there you
crazy.
Go.
Well, maybe we'll speak to you soon. Let's go to something else. And we'll speak to you soon, mate. Take care of yourself. Look after yourself.
Cheers, Liam.
Cheers.
Guys, thanks for Liam coming on, part of All at Sea fanzine. God, we've had a bumper first episode of the season, episode 49. What are we going to do for 50, guys? I thought 50 was a special one. Should we just edit this and put a big cross through the like things like episode 50? It's not that. It's a bumper one, but you know, we've had plenty to talk about. Yeah, I think so. I think we started this was it yesterday morning, I thought. But anyway, I don't know where I am. So before I say anything else more stupid and I have to spend more time editing, guys, we got any we won't finish this podcast without saying, have we got any more shout outs, any funny bits? We've talked about a few things. Have anything to say, guys?
James, you actually making a game this weekend, or are you working again?
No, I'm not. But I'm actually.
That's a question.
I'm
mate.
Going.
I'm
going to Slough away on Tuesday, so that's my weekend.
Oh, Tuesday, okay.
Yeah, Tuesday night at Slough. No, this week on Tuesday. Tuesday. Week, no, on,
week
Tuesday.
On Tuesday. The 15th.
Yeah, just after Torquay. Yeah. After the Torquay game, we got a long trip. Pete's got a long bloody trip down to Torquay and back, haven't you, on Saturday? I bet you
Liam,
cannot wait.
You're doing it in August, Pete, not in January as we had last year.
Well with the weather at the moment, it's like bloody January.
Well, apparently, someone said to me, apparently it's meant to be quite nice this week. Like, so
yeah,
let's wait and see.
Not too bad.
Chris, what have you got this coming week, couple of weeks?
Saturday won't. Shields are away to Boston United. We're not travelling, but we will be travelling to Farsley Celtic on the Tuesday, which is in Leeds. So it's almost like a home game, and it can consider the travels. So we're really looking forward to that one. Old friends of ours, Farsley from the Northern Premier League. So really looking forward to that.
Fantastic. And Trev, anything for you?
Well, I'm going to have a night off Tuesday this week because I went to Littlehampton in Erith and Belvedere on Sunday in the FA Cup, which was 6 goals. So I've watched 11 goals in 2 games, done quite well.
Who won that? I missed that result, actually.
Which one?
From Sunday.
Littlehampton lost.
Erith won 6-0.
Did they?
Dude, yeah. I remember you said Dicko scored too. Who said
Dicko
it on
scored
chat?
Twice. Absolute replica, the second of the first. Wow. Still got it. So, yeah, a Tuesday off, but Saturday after the pod comes out, I hope to get 2 games in because Barnet kick off at Bromley at 5:30 on TNT Sports. So hopefully I'll get to the Glebe or Holmesdale beforehand.
Doesn't TNT Sports sound a bit like TNT Sports in the game?
sounds like a parcel service.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
It does, isn't it?
And then next Tuesday, we've got Eastleigh away. So nice, easy one for me, just an hour down the road.
Guys, it's been a pleasure. We've had bloody loads to talk about. It's really great to have us all on again. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We do promise you this season, we'll try and be a bit more consistent because we do realise, and Gaz, bless him, sat down before he left his, I think he did it on company time of his old job, didn't he? Sat down and worked out every week we're going to record. As you know, we record on a Monday and we release on a Friday. If you've got anything you want to hear from us, you know, we've really had having. Thank you to Liam and thank you to Ollie for coming on this week's podcast. Do follow us at the PNLP on social media. As we say all the time, we love your comments. So thank you for sending them in. Keep sending them in because it does cheer us up. But if you like it, just share it with one other person. Someone new every week. And, you know, it'll just grow our listenership and we can do more things for you throughout the season. But join us in a couple of weeks' time for our 50th anniversary. That sounds like we've been going for years. 50th episode anniversary. Yeah, we've loved every episode we brought to you. But, guys, from myself, James, Chris, say goodnight to everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Peter.
Good night, all.
Are you Peter?
No.
Wait your turn, Trevor.
No.
Trevor? Stay safe.
Everyone talks over me.
Stay safe. Be seeing you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.